We're starting with our old friend phone hacking, because there have been some exciting new developments. At the start of the week, Sienna Miller became the first celebrity to settle with the News of the World. She'd already accepted £100,000 in damages, and she can now add to that tidy sum a full and frank apology from News Group newspapers for accessing her voicemails. If News International thought that was the end of it, they were sadly mistaken. Guardian revealed on Thursday that there was evidence of the phones of former Prime Minister Tony Blair and former civilian Kate Middleton had also been hacked. We'll hear all about that in a moment, but let's liven things up first. Here's former News of the World editor Piers Morgan telling Five Lives' Richard Bacon what he thinks of the whole affair.
I have a lot of sympathy for the people at the top, because I don't think they had a clue what was going on, and I think that it's one of those situations where until you know exactly what the scale of the problem is, it's very hard to deal with it.
But what I do find stomach-churning
was your mate Hugh Grant on here the other day, a guy who has used the media. This is my problem with all the phone hacking victims. They've all used the media over the years to feather their nest, buy their houses, flog their movies, sell out their concerts. And now they're squealing like little pigs over the media. And, you know, I just think it's perspective time again. The Guardian is leading the charge on phone hacking. They believe it's wrong for any newspaper to publish material that has been gained unlawfully. And yet The Guardian was the newspaper that published WikiLeaks, which is openly an illegal form of material that's been acquired illegally, that was very dangerous to many parts of the security services and the armed forces. They knew that and willfully published it. And their argument is, well, it was all in the public interest.
But
really?
Say this,
Colonel
you?
Gaddafi's lovers, which is one of the WikiLeaks revelations, that's in the public interest? There is no difference. It is sanctimonious, hypocritical bilge by The Guardian, by the BBC, sorry, but they piled into by these stars like Hugh Grant. The BBC, in my experience when I was a newspaper editor, you break a big juicy story, a big old scandal, and then what would happen is The Guardian and the BBC the next day would say, there are disgusting revelations in the Daily Mirror or News of the World today, so repellent that we are now going to talk about them for the next 20 minutes. No. And in the case of The Guardian, we're going to run 17 pages on it. You can't have your cake and eat it. If the BBC and The Guardian feel so strongly about this prurient kind of journalism, they should never cover it again.
Piers Morgan there, speaking to Richard Bacon on a Manhattan rooftop, as you do. Now, we are, of course... I can see James is shaking his head.
Where'd you start?
We are, of course, contractually obliged not to agree with anything that Piers Morgan says.
Yeah, well, I mean, and even if I was... I couldn't help myself. I mean, I think... it's ridiculous. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. I mean, just starting at the top, he said that no one at the top knew about this. Well, we'll find out.
They were fairly near the top.
I mean, you know, the people at the summit has already been arrested and suspended and then sacked by the News of the World for a start. I mean, you know, we could go on. But, I mean, the idea that WikiLeaks is... and out of just two, who Grant is having sex with, is just ridiculous. Mm. Absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, that's put that to one side. There have been some developments this week. I mentioned Sienna Miller, she's got her big apology. That all came out in court this week, so that one's done. But there are plenty more in terms of people who are suing the News of the World.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. There's over 20 civil cases still being fought. Miller is the only one who's accepted an apology and damages from News of the World thus far. They've offered apologies and damages to seven others and possibly another eight after that. Mm. I mean, the point is, there's a long way to go. This really, now the civil cases have become the public inquiry we should have, but we haven't got. So that's all been played out.
Because more details come out in... each time this comes to court, more details come out in the judgment or the apology or whatever, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. In the pre-court hearings, I mean, the trial. There's a trial next January of several four or five test cases, but in the preamble to that is obviously all the pre-court hearings where we hear why this should go to trial, and the lawyers for various celebrities and public figures just reveal exactly what they think had happened to their clients. You know, who, when they were hacked, why. Which stories came from it, and that's the interesting thing, when you actually build up a picture of the News of the World sort of modus operandi during that process. So there's a huge amount more to come on that.
I'll come to you, Neil, in a second, but James, you're the expert on all the details of of this, and because we had more cases revealed this week, I mentioned Kate Middleton and Tony Blair. Now, are they connected to all these previous ones, or are they separate?
Yeah, and George Michael and Gary Lineker and others. I mean, this is separate in the sense that it's another investigator, Jonathan Rees, who...
Right, so this isn't the Glenn Mulcair.
So it isn't Glenn Mulcair, but similar techniques, possibly more sort of scary techniques in a sense that, you know, the Rees, it's well known... tape phone calls, as well as just, you know, it wasn't just a case of hacking to mobile phone messages.
It was more so, a kind of private investigator.
He was more of a full-on private investigator, yeah, who's done some, you know, unspeakably terrible things in his time.
Into emails as well.
And hacking to emails as well, yeah, and all the full range of techniques that can be used.
So Neil, we've said, I mean, we've talked on this podcast before about how it doesn't seem to be, none of this seems to be wrapping up fairly soon. In fact, it just seems to be broadening. But that, you know, we can say that again this week, can't we?
Well, from a PR point of view, they should have killed it early on. Mm. But yet they allowed it to drag on. Then they promised a payout. Now they're trying to cap the payouts. But if as James says, you know, these cases are 20 or 30 cases, more will come out of the woodwork. And also there's rumours that John Yates, who was one of the investigating officers, his phone may have also been hacked into. So that then opens up a whole Pandora's box of other senior people in the Met and, you know, how their investigation was infected.
A news group strategy has been to try and close down all these civil cases, but they don't seem to be able to do it very quickly, do they?
No, and I think they stalled for too long and they didn't launch a root and branch investigation internally. And it's dragged out too long, and it could go on for years and years, which is not going to do Rebecca Wade and her colleagues any good.
Brooks, absolutely. Well, meanwhile, in the world of privacy in the press, the Parliamentary Committee looking into privacy injunctions is moving into action. The MPs and peers on the committee say they want to call newspaper editors, judges and technology company chiefs to public hearings. So will this become a sort of public inquiry, James, do you think?
Well, I think whether there's an official public inquiry or not, I mean, I think David Cameron's alluded to the potential for there being one, hasn't he? And I think, I mean, it's certainly something that's going to dominate the next year or so. You know, it's just a sort of convergence of these various cases, yeah, like the one that I've been covering again, a case this morning involving Fred Goodwin, former RBS banker.
And this inquiry is specifically concerning injunctions, isn't it? Not hacking.
Exactly. I mean, the two distinct things. Absolutely, they're just purely injunctions. As you said, we end up calling them super injunctions. Which they're not really, but they are.
Well, they're posh people, because when they get an injunction, they go, "Oh, super."
Yeah, super. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, yeah. That's a very good differentiation. I think the fact is that the context of this is, you know, there's hacking on the sidelines, which is relevant. There's the injunctions which have been granted for, you know, they're not a new thing, but of course, in this new world with Twitter and social media and so on, they're easy to break. So this comes down to a question of whether...
Or if you're a Scottish newspaper,
indeed, which famously did that. I mean, it just comes down to it's almost a philosophical debate about whether, you know, what constitutes privacy and whether anyone can ever be reported.
And it's interesting that the judges are coming down on the side of privacy, aren't they, Neil? And the court hearings in the case of News Group newspapers are also making it difficult for newspapers to justify these sorts of stories. So they're coming at it from all angles, really, aren't they?
Well, we all know that David Cameron wants to rip up the Human Rights Act and start again, and if he wants to do that, then the right to privacy, the right to family, the right to liberty is all going to go out the window. So it is a test case, because if he goes in there and says, well, actually, you know, we need to tighten up the privacy rules, then he's got to support the Human Rights Act, and that is obviously not going to tally with his policy.
But it comes down to a question of, you know, it's the same old question. We've been here before in a different form, you know, with the PCC being under investigation, and the whole concept of self-regulation of the press has been challenged before, under previous governments. The answer, you know, the government of the day always comes down on the side of the newspapers for obvious reasons. And as long as they believe, rightly or wrongly, that newspapers can determine whether they get elected or can make it easier or harder for them to get elected, they will always come down on the side of the Dakers and the Brookses and so on. I mean, that's the key question.
Sir Paul Dacre, has his knighthood yet?
Sir Paul. He's not Sir Paul, is he?
I don't think he is.
No, he's not a knighthood. He's not got a knighthood.
He's certainly been begging for one.
Just a question of time.
Just before we wrap up quickly, you mentioned that you were at the Fred Goodwin hearing. What's the latest on that? Because the injunction has been upheld, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, but
banging the table.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make a point when I'm concentrating. I have to do that.
It's really exciting.
All that's changed is that the Sun and others will be able to publish the woman who had an affair with allegedly's job title,
right,
and for how long they had an affair,
but not her name.
But still not her name.
Okay. Well, I'll be interested to see where that goes. Well, are you outraged as a Scot that your national bank is being dragged through the?
I'm surprised that he didn't take out an injunction so people couldn't say that he brought the country to its knees economically for at least the next 10 years.
Yes.
I'm surprised he didn't try and do that. He's a very arrogant man, you know, I think the newspaper should go back in and try again, because it's really important.
Okay, thanks very much. That'll do for now. There's more on all of this, of course, including all the latest breaking developments on MediaGuardian.co.uk.